Now, last week, we went rather extensively into phonological aspects of both language and music, seeking analogies between linguistic universals and the natural musical universals that arise out of the harmonic series. You remember, I hope. Now it's time to investigate analogies from a whole new point of view, that of syntax, which is the study of the actual structures by which those basic sounds have evolved into words and words into sentences. And here's where the name of Chomsky assumes a critical importance. For Noam Chomsky, like most linguists, is not primarily interested in historical inquiry, such as monogenesis or theories of the origin of language, but rather in analytical inquiry, seeking universal rules of syntax and phonology which can apply to the 4,000 or so particular languages that exist in the world today. Now, I'm obviously in no position to present a critical analysis of Chomsky's work, nor would time permit me to, even if I were. What interests us here is not the rationalist Cartesian philosophy to which Chomsky has returned to seek his roots, but we are interested in why he returned to those roots, because it is from them that his ideas of a universal grammar have grown. In brief, he believes, along with Descartes, that there are human phenomena which cannot be explained by any purely corporeal theory, that the purely physical theories of body must be supplemented by the postulation of another substance to be called mind, for want of a better word, a substance that has the same properties of motion and extension as does the bodily substance. This, of course, is in frequent conflict with empiricist thought, as exemplified by a Locke or Berkeley, and currently by the behaviorists who demand perceived evidence at all costs. But the Cartesians insist, and say further, that the theory of corporeal body cannot account for the most obvious facts of human action, the basic properties of thought, and in particular, the normal use of human language.